What the heck should I feed my guinea pig? Small pet minisode, Guinea Pigs, Part 3. Hello, whizzes. Welcome to Wizardry Lesson Number 19, talking all about guinea pigs, or cavies, and is the final part of a three-part miniseries on cavy nutrition. We talked about their digestive tracts, why it's important that they have soft, solid flooring, and how it pertains to their nutrition. We went over some complex topics in part 2 about vitamin C and the best way to provide it, which is through whole food supplementation. And today we are going to wrap things up with the basics on choosing an appropriate guinea pig diet. Before we jump into that, however, I do want to quickly go over the best way to transition your guinea pig to a new diet, should you decide after today, for example, that you must do so. Transitioning a diet. When changing your pet's diet, the key is slow and steady. Most pets are able to complete a 100% transition to a new formula over the course of a week. Some need longer. Since guinea pigs and other small herbivores have very important microbiota, that is, the small organisms that perform the fermentation of their food so that they can obtain necessary nutrients from the things they eat, living in their gut, it's important to take care not to upset the balance of this microbiota when changing their foods. For a gentle change that is less likely to cause any kind of gastrointestinal upset, you should follow a transitional schedule similar to the one I'm about to go over. Day 1, swap 10% of the old diet with the new diet. You can do this by roughly separating out their normal ration of food into 10 even portions. Then pick up one of those portions, put it back in the bag, and replace it with the same sized portion of their new food, mix together and add to their bowl. Day 2, swap 20% of the old diet with the new diet. Follow the same trick if you'd like, and just swap out 2 of the 10 portions instead of just 1. Day 3, swap out 30%. Day 4, you should be able to do half and half. This time you can just separate the food into 2 even portions and replace half of the new food. If you've noticed at any point your guinea pig system being distressed, such as soft or runny poos in their cage, slow it down. Go back a step or even 2 steps. You may need to separate the portions out even slower and take 2 weeks. Sometimes it can take up to a month. If you try a 2-week or longer transition and still run into trouble, stop the transition and return to the old food until symptoms subside. Any signs of illness should always be brought to your vet, and you should always already have a relationship with an exotic animal vet before trying this transition with your guinea pig. You may need to end up giving up on the food swap, or you may need to try a different food entirely, or just try later. If you haven't come across any signs of GI upset at this point, look for changes in the stool or take notice if your guinea pig isn't eating as much as usual, for example, then you can continue with the day 5 step, which is day 5. Swap 70% of the old food with the new. Day 6, you can swap 90%, and by day 7, your guinea pig should be on the new diet. This guide will work for most guinea pig owners, but if you have any questions, you can always reach out to your vet or contact me via my website at animalnutritionwizard.org. I have a contact me page. If your guinea pig seems ill, go to your vet. I cannot stress enough that my advice does not replace veterinary care, but it can help to prevent the need for it. So now let's talk about which food to feed so that we can hopefully prevent veterinary care. Evolution has geared your guinea pig's body to flourish on a diet that is high in fiber, low in calories, and frankly, not very nutritious. And guinea pigs, like humans, practice selective eating. This is the common practice of choosing foods that please our taste buds rather than what might actually provide the best nutritional value. Even as a nutritionist, I do it too. This is why it's absolutely vital that you do not choose a foraging diet, or what's also often called a muesli mix, for your guinea pig. These look like a fun mix of colors, rainbow, crunchy shapes, etc., and foods all in one bag. As nice and fun as these looks, these should be avoided. Instead, you'll want to aim for a nice bag of boring, unified pellets. Muesli mixes are a primary source of malnutrition in our pocket pets. Their lack of uniformity in nutrients per piece of food can lead to dental issues, obesity, and nutrient deficiency. Since guinea pigs will, when given the option, pick out all the less nutritious, more tasty bits, and often leave the more boring yet more nutritious and fibrous bits behind, they are far less likely to obtain all the necessary nutrients and fiber needed in their diet. And this brings me to the next point. Extruded pellets are also a problem. In my mini-sodes about rabbits, I already explained in detail the issues that come with extruded foods, so I won't go too much into that, but the fact is right now, we don't have fantastic, commercially available, minimally processed, balanced diet options for our small pets, like we do for our canine and feline family members. All of the commercial diets available for our guinea pigs, rabbits, rats, hamsters, and other small rodents are generally extruded pellets or muesli mixes, and they're often created from corn, wheat, and soy byproducts. And we have yet to see a commercially available pre-made fresh food option for our smaller pets. So it really comes down to choose the best food you can for them and ensure that it is a uniform pellet. Ensure it's from a company with a good reputation, meaning it's a really good idea to research what problems any particular company you are considering using might have, and ensure you are picking the safest option. You also want to ensure you're supplementing your guinea pig with whole food sources of nutrients, as mentioned in part 2 of the guinea pig series. The best food will not have corn, wheat, or synthetic preservatives. The first ingredient should be Timothy hay, and it should include a stabilized form of vitamin C. And lastly, your guinea pig's diet should consist of roughly 70% hay. Fresh Timothy is the best option most of us have right now. I don't recommend alfalfa hay for adults due to its higher calcium content. Young guinea pigs, that would be guinea pigs under 9 months old, can have alfalfa hay while they're growing. And this all comes back to a reminder that only 30% of your cavy's daily nutrient intake should come from the pelleted diet that you have chosen. So portion control is important. Guinea pigs can, just like rabbits, very quickly obtain all the calories they need in a day from a very small portion of pellets, which is not a natural method for them to obtain their calories. Remember, herbivores spend roughly 20 hours a day eating, because they are built to eat low-calorie, high-fiber food. This means you'll want to avoid keeping their bowl full at all times and essentially free-feeding your guinea pig pellets. What you can free-feed and keep available at all times is their hay, because they can literally eat it all day, non-stop, and it's not going to cause them to gain weight. In summary, you'll want to choose a diet that is mainly made up of Timothy hay, with roughly 30% of their daily intake coming from a good pelleted food. Essentially, a good pelleted food will also be largely hay, meaning that altogether your guinea pig's diet will consist of about 90% hay. But the pelleted foods often offer a substantial amount of fortified nutrients that your guinea pig may not receive otherwise, so it is still necessary at this time. And the good pelleted food and hay should be supplemented with small amounts of fresh whole foods, such as cilantro, kale, parsley, and small amounts of organic fruits, like a bit of carrot or strawberry, so that your guinea pig is receiving fresh whole food vitamin complexes in addition to the synthetic vitamins that their food is fortified with. And that concludes the guinea pig mini series. That's all, folks. I hope you all had fun listening and learning. I know I had a ton of fun making this episode and the previous ones and looking at lots of pictures of cute cavies while I put together the notes for these lessons. I plan to create many more fun and informative podcasts in the future, so stay tuned, and in the meantime, feed those pets like you mean it, because nutrition is magic.
Hey listener, and wizard in training, I'd like to tell you a bit about the host of this podcast, Trinity Thresher. Trinity is an independently certified pet nutrition specialist and coach. She would like to invite you to visit her website at animalnutritionwizard.org, where you can schedule a consult with her or purchase a food analysis from one of her 3 comprehensive packages. Her credentials include 6 years' experience working under Dr. Katie Miller, DVM, maintain certifications from canine nutritionist Nina Liu and Dr. Jean Dodds, as well as educators Holly and Hugo, and several certifications from Dogs Naturally Pro courses created by Dr. Marion Smart. The Wizard performs ongoing study and dedicates much of her time to advancing her learning and understanding of biology, immunology, animal physiology, and nutrition. She provides coaching, consultations, guides, and free weekly Q&A sessions. Her ultimate goal is to create a certification program designed for members of the pet food industry that, once certified, would provide them with the Animal Nutrition Wizard's Seal of Approval, which could be labeled directly on packaging or on their website. This seal would be one of the best ways for pet owners to quickly recognize a food, treat, or supplement as safe and healthy and has met the standards of an independent third-party certifier. Optimal nutrition and the well-being of your pets is the sole focus of the Animal Nutrition Wizard. Her dream is to empower pet owners everywhere and create pet nutrition wizards out of every dog and cat owner. Your support is the driving force that helps to maintain and grow these goals and dreams. Thank you.